Now it's time to be educated and entertained by the country's most famous environmental scientist, Joey B. has researched grizzly bears, wolves, and birds of prey. He continues to travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. Be ready to be amazed. Here's your host, Joey B.
Hello and welcome to Joey B. Outdoor Science and Nature. Man, do I have the coolest job. I travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. So let's talk about the rebirth of a marsh. There's four types of wetlands: bogs, swamps, fens, and marshes. So you go, okay, so what's the difference? And then I'm going to give you some really cool things about, in the springtime, how they are reborn. Well, a marsh is defined. You can ID the plants that are there, and they are dominated by herbaceous stems. Big old word, herbaceous stems. What that simply means is the plants are soft and green and can be bent. And people go, well, that falls in, you know, so many plants fall into that category. And that is correct. So let's talk about the rebirth of one. And I'm going to talk about some specific plants. And I'm not exaggerating. You'll be driving down the road somewhere, and you'll look and you'll see the one specific plant I'll talk about. You'll see it and you're going to go, that's a marsh. And people are going to go, you can't tell that. And they're going to go, well, we were just driving 70 miles an hour and we just passed it. How? Well, by the plant, you can have the proof. So I thought today we'd go on part of the Atlantic Flyway. And the Atlantic Flyway is where all the birds are migrating south, and on the East Coast, it's the Atlantic Flyway. And there's a stopover point. And a stopover point, you go, why would a bird choose to stop there on his migratory path? And that is the Meadowlands. The Meadowlands, straight across, is New York City. And you're going, wait. There's a marsh right next to, yeah, and they built stadiums there and racetracks there and arenas, and they're building a mall there. And we've actually filmed extensively through there. And it's utterly amazing how much, and by the way, there's so much of the marsh that is still left there. So I'm going to say that to you. But there is so much of it that has just been, and hey, you know what's amazing? If you had some type of wetlands on a property you own and you wanted to build on it, the state would say, no, you can't do that. And then you have to mitigate. That's the word we use instead of litigate. And you're going to have to maybe build wetlands somewhere else. But the state doesn't have to do it. And I can get into that legal battle. But that's not what this show is all about. So let's go to the rebirth. So it's early spring, and all of a sudden you see this plant. See, right away, before I get to animals, you see this plant popping up, and it's getting larger and larger and larger. And the real name is Phragmites, but people just simply call it the giant reed grass. And you know about it in the fall when you see this 6-7 foot tall plant and this large plume on the top. And as they begin to dry out, they look pretty cool. And that plume is actually filled with thousands of seeds. And that's why it can propagate itself wherever it goes into some type of place. And that is a large herbaceous plant, because soft and green and can be bent. And yes, that plant, when it's coming up early in the season, well, you can simply bend it. Well, something green can be bent. Well, what I look for in the rebirth of a marsh, you know, it doesn't matter whether it's the Meadowlands or somewhere else, I am listening for a sound. And the sound I am listening for is that red-winged blackbird. And it's funny, you know, many birds have this, like, just beautiful vocalization, but the red-winged blackbird is like, sort of this muted call of sorts, and then ends up at its high pitch at the end. And that's one of the things. But here's a neat thing. A couple of podcast shows ago, I was talking about the mockingbird, and I said that they would line their less nest. And what happens is the red-winged blackbird will actually take the tufts of cattails and line their nest. So there you go. You have a little baby swaddling clothes and you want to wrap them up nice and soft and cushiony, cuddly. Well, the red wing does the same thing. And when you hear the red wing, you know the rebirth is actually going on. Now, the first time ever, and I'm going way back, that I was at the Great Swamp National Refuge. And right away, people hear the Great Swamp and they're going, I don't want to go to swamp. Well, it's matter of fact, I was speaking last night to a group of scouts, and Before I went on, and large group auditorium, and parent came up to me, and he was talking, and somewhere out of his mouth came out Great Swamp. And I said to him, and I was real serious, I said, if I was going to pick 10 places in the country to go for a hike, the Great Swamp would be one of them. And people, well, what do you mean? That's 10,000 acres, and there are trails that go through it. There are little boardwalks over some of the water that's in there, but quite a bit of it happens to be a marsh. Some of it is a swamp. Some of it happens to be little forests because, believe it or not, swamps are dominated by tree and shrub species. And people go, wait, swamp, trees, and shrubs? I thought it was just water. Well, the answer is no. Well, going into the Great Swamp the first time near a marsh area, I am there, and I'm driving through, and there's this large group of birders, and they have all their spotting scopes out, and they're staring across the marsh and into these trees, and I have no idea what they're looking at. And I'm saying this is a million skillion years ago, and I wasn't a good birder. So I asked one of the people, the birders, because see, birders are some of the nicest people, and they love to share their knowledge. And if they can share their spotting scope with you and show you something, they absolutely will, and educate you as time is going on. So I'm looking at what they're looking at, and I really don't see it. And I asked one of the birders, and she said, rookery. I go, okay, rookery. So I said, where? She goes, in the tree, rookery. And I'm looking for a rookery bird. By the way, the rookery bird does not exist. The rookery happens to be great blue herons. Think about their strength in numbers. Well, they're going to nest in the corresponding trees and sometimes in the same tree. And think about how large great blue herons are, wingspan 7 feet, blah, blah, huge bird. And, well, they're going to have all their nests going on together. So there's a strength in numbers, and that is called a rookery. So the first time I ever saw a rookery bird, which doesn't exist, it was the great blue herons that were there. You could see that. So in early spring, in the rebirth of any one of the wetlands, swamps, bogs, marshes, fens, you could see a rookery. But I happen to see it across in the Great Swamp in a marsh, throwing that at you. And then all of a sudden, I'm down the road, and I see a green heron, cool-looking, like stocky. I don't know. He's like the fire plug of birds. He's a short, stocky guy. And a lot was going on that day. So really cool thing. And then as you hike along, so I'm going to go back to the Meadowlands because I'll give you the boardwalks that are there. And as you're hiking along, and there are tides in there, I'm going to get a little bit into the water in a little bit here. But when it's low tide, you see all these tracks along, and you're going, all right, tracks. And I'm looking, I'm going, all right, muskrat tracks. Oh, raccoon tracks. And people are going, wait, there's mammals? Mammals inside a marsh. Could you imagine in a wetlands there are mammals? Well, then all of a sudden you see these clamshells all along there. And then you realize what the muskrat and what the raccoon were doing. They were having clams on a half shell. Yes, they're very good at it. And you know, and I'll just use the raccoon because he's just one of the cooler animals. And if you've never witnessed this before, a raccoon likes to eat clean food. So he will break clamshell open, and pretty neat to watch him. And then he picks up the inner parts, but it doesn't matter what it would be. And he's just in there, and he's rinsing it off in the water before he eats. It's just a real neat thing to see there. Now, with the Meadowlands, that happens to actually see. There's a lot of names in ecology that overlap. And that happens to be an estuary. And an estuary is where the river meets the sea. So you're going to get a mixing of water there, and that is called brackish water. And the mixing of water, the brackish water, because you got fresh water from one side, seawater, which is salt water, from the other side. So that's where the low salinity content comes in that water. And there are organisms that can live in salt. There are organisms that can live in fresh. And then there's some organisms that can live in both. One of them actually happens to be the grass shrimp. And people go, you mean I can go eat shrimp right there? Well, I wouldn't eat it in the waters near there. I don't think it's the cleanest of waters because there are many wetlands that are pure. I don't want to say pristine, but close to pristine waters. But grass shrimp, They're large, but there's not a lot of meat to them, so I probably wouldn't do that. And now the neat thing about the spring is you start to look at some other organisms that are there. And wherever you live, if you are seeing geese, and geese obviously are water animals, they are already pairing up. Pairing up means they're ready to mate. So you went from winter flocks and you had males and females all mixed together. And then all of a sudden, a lot of honking going on and a lot of defending, first of territory, then defending mate, and then defending territory where they will mate. And if you haven't seen this, and most people don't like geese because they are poopaholics, and yes, they are. You know, I always joke about, like, Dorothy went down the yellow brick road, but the geese have made that the green scat road. And if you know, I'm sure you know what I'm speaking about. So, but just take a look at that, and you can see the geese pairing up in many of the different types of wetlands, but in a marsh. And I was near a marsh very recently, and everywhere you went, a lot of squawking going on, a lot of defending of territory and mate going on. And I'm also going to let you know that since I am talking East Coast wetlands right now, I am letting you know that when you get out early in the morning, and to me, because I happen to be a morning guy, and most of you know that, early morning says to me, this show is brought to you by Ramsey Outdoor Stores. Whether you shop online or one of their stores, your experience will successfully gear you up for your next adventure. Go to RamseyOutdoor.com. Well, no, it really doesn't say that, but you could probably purchase some of these clothes there, because you go out early morning and you're going from a little bit above freezing, and if the temperatures are a little bit lower than typical average, then you're going out at freezing. So you want to dress in layers, and you want to make sure that the layers closest to your body are wicking layers. And I do have shows about this. You want to make sure that you wick the moisture, meaning getting the moisture from that's on your body through that layer into the next layer, which typically is fleece. And what happens is, if you don't know this, the reason why you get cold is the sweat on your body gets cold. So let's get it away there. So you want to make sure that if you're out in a marsh early morning, you're wearing these wicking layers in there. And I'm also going to let you know that I wear boots, and there are muck boots that are out there that people wear. I typically wear my hiking boots, but I make sure that they're waterproof. And I don't use Gore-Tex, which, by the way, happens to be a cancerous product, and it's in many products. I actually, and I speak about this on a couple shows, I just actually use beeswax. You can buy it in a can and spray it right on, rub it on. I actually have, it's like a little tub, and I actually just rub it in. It will change the color of your boots. It will darken them up quite a bit. But if it's going to keep the water out, then that's what I want, since I'm going near a place where there is water. Now, in the Meadowlands, and he's not there, and he hasn't been there for a couple years, but there was a rare sighting in there. A couple years back, there was a snowy owl. So think about this. From up in the Arctic, a snowy owl migrates down, and where does he go? He goes 2 miles from New York City. That's pretty crazy. I guess he liked the nightlife. Just kidding. But it was really neat to see that a snowy was there, and I actually filmed him. You want to talk about some of the cooler organisms on Earth. The snowy is one of them. So I just mentioned about colder weather, but as the day goes on, the sun comes out, it warms up. And you already know that when you're feeling that sun, especially the afternoon sun this time of the year, it just feels so good in your body. Well, all of a sudden, in some type of wetland, you have an insect explosion going on. Well, what's happening is these are warm day hatches. So a bunch of a specific type of insects will actually hatch. And that's what you're seeing, this swarm going on. And that's called the hatch. And they're all mating and they're going to lay eggs. And those are actually going to die. And the next generation is on. So be prepared. And if you use the chemical DEET on your body, DEET is also a cancerous product. And I'm going to let you know that a lot of the organics happen to, you know, have different... again, it's made from plant materials, lavender, etc. So you're going to smell a little bit in a nice way, but you're going to keep the insects off of you. So that's one of the things that are there. Now, if I was to tell you that there are many deer inside the wetlands, you'd go, what are you talking about? Go back to the Great Swamp. Well, if it's dominated by tree and shrub species, and blueberries happen to be some of those shrubs that are in there, you're going to find lots of animals going on inside there. Well, the white-tailed deer is you find a tremendous amount inside the wetlands. And if you go down 2 miles from New York City in a marsh, in the meadowlands, on the drier ground, you'll see them going through the water as well, but through the drier ground, you're going to see white-tailed deer going through there. You will even find some coyote. People are, what do you mean? That's 2 miles from New York City. You will find coyote, because I have seen coyotes. I have seen coyotes scat when I'm tracking animals that are in there. One of the things I'm also going to tell you is there are ticks. So with this vermin, and if you don't know enough about them, I am going to tell you that later on you need to first listen to this show, because it's a real cool show about the rebirth of a marsh. And then I do have a great podcast show just on ticks. So I'm going to let you know that you need to do a tick, and I typically call it a vermin check. At the end of the day, guess what? It doesn't matter who you are, you need to make sure that you check your body out, and you need to make sure that you are safe all there. Now, all year long, you go down into the meadowlands, and you're going to see two groups. And some of them, they actually merge together by what they do. You got photographers down there, whether they're amateurs or professionals, and you have birders. And this is all year long because some birds are there, you know, migrants coming through, and then it's time to return. And some are permanent residents that are down there. And you see some spectacular shots of different, you know, hey, I was able to skate through there, no pun intended. I wasn't on my ice skates, big old hockey player. But I was down there in the wintertime, and there was an actual full mature bald eagle hanging out for the winter. He just came down, and that's where he stopped. And that was a pretty neat deal. But I'm going to let you know that there are harriers, a bountiful amount of harriers down there, and they are all always hovering, and they catch these thermals. Because they built, sad to say, mountains of trash in some places. They covered them over with grass, and now they just look like big old grassy knolls. But as the thermal warm air is rising right over it, you'll see, and really cool to watch harriers just hovering above, hey, sometimes just above the phragmites, the giant reed grass on marshy area, and they just hover above, looking for rodents. So really neat to see down there. And some of them, well, actually, I told you they're just sort of large hills, and the harriers will just perch literally right on top or find a shrub right on top and they perch. And you can get some of the greatest looks, whether you're doing it with your camera lens or your binoculars or your spotting scope. So there's a great one. Now, in wetlands, we have built many hiking trails. See, people right away goes back to water going, how do you hike in a swamp? And how do you hike? Well, I'm going to let you know that there are many boardwalks that go over the water. So the Meadowlands have some great, great boardwalks that you can get out all the way to the middle of the wetlands of the marsh to take a look at it. And again, I'll just use Great Swamp National Wildlife Refuge because early spring, I am on a frog hunt, just looking for different types of frogs coming out and frog eggs and all that. And what goes along with that on those warm, sunny days, because I love snakes and getting out there and taking a look at all the different types of snakes that come out. You get that first warm weather. And I'm going to let you know that if you haven't listened to my, and it had nothing to do with any of the wetlands, but if you never listened to my podcast show on Don't Look Now series of things that have happened to me with animals in the wild, and Don't Look Now, but there's snakes in my boots. That's another one that you need to go listen to, because if you like snakes or don't like snakes, that's a show for you to listen to. Now, you want to get out there. I am going to let you know that the groundhog, well, he's telling us that spring is here, but we really know that the cardinal is the real indicator of spring, and they're already setting up territories, singing all that. And it is time for you to get out and go see the rebirth of a marsh. I will let you know that it will be a spectacular day for you out in the wild, because you can look at my photos at Joey B Outdoors, J-O-U-I-B-E Outdoors on Twitter. And I put a photo of the day, and you're going to get to see some great photos of mine. But I'd rather you take great photos yourself and post them. Hey, send me one. And always remember that viewing nature is free. Until next time, enjoy life's adventures.
You can follow all of my adventures online at joeybe.tv. That's joeybe.tv. And a very special thank you to the men and women of our armed forces for keeping us free, and for our police and firefighters for keeping us safe. May God bless America. Until next time, this is Joey B. Enjoy life's adventures.